I'm preaching from Proverbs chapter 1 today, if you'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 1. I've given a title to this message, Listen to Wisdom's Call. Was struck by this a couple of weeks ago, reading through this chapter, and the Lord laid it on my heart to prepare a sermon from verses 20 through 33. Proverbs, you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, I trust. It's a book that we encourage young people to read. You see Solomon writing to his sons. You see that phrase over and over again. You see the direction for children to listen to the instruction of their parents. But Proverbs is not just a book for young people because it is a book of wisdom. It's a book of instruction and understanding. Really, the first six verses of the chapter here of Proverbs 1 give us that purpose. That's why the book was written, to give wisdom, instruction, knowledge, understanding. And I think specifically about life that lines up with God's will and character. That's why verse 7 of chapter 1 tells us the way to wisdom, or the foundation of all wisdom, is the fear of God. And for one to refuse to seek that and know that displays that he is a fool. In the middle of the chapter, you see verses 8 down to verse 19, Solomon talks to his sons, warns them about the folly of listening to the counsel of sinners or joining in on their ventures, their schemes. But I want to begin, I want to preach from verse 20 down to the end of the chapter about wisdom's call, wisdom's sayings. Perhaps your Bible has a heading like this, the call of wisdom, or wisdom warns, or something like that. Wisdom is one of two major themes in the book of Proverbs. You see it in verse 7. You see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, really referring to wisdom, the wisdom of the Lord, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. You kind of see those these themes, wisdom and foolishness. And if you spend any time reading Proverbs, you'll encounter these themes over and over and over. And so I think Proverbs is a book of choices, primarily written by Solomon. I think these choices are given with warnings for choosing foolishly, and they're given with blessings for choosing wisely. And we're going to see that in the text we're in today. The wise choice will always line up with God's will and God's way. The foolish choice will always reject God's will, reject God's way. And this is important, I think, because right now, every single one of us in this room are in the business of making a choice. One of those two choices, I think. We're choosing to follow God's wisdom, to obey Him, or we're choosing to follow our own wisdom, to disobey or disregard God. There are only those two things to choose between. And so I want to highlight that choice in my sermon today. I think the major application will probably be for the lost. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible's going to present you with a choice to follow and obey God. But there's much application here for those who are children of God already, because the choice between wisdom and foolishness, some of you probably already thought this through, is a daily one practically. One writer has called this passage the gospel of God's love to sinners. And I trust you'll see that as we work through. Whether you're a sinner in need of a Savior, never having trusted Christ, whether you're a child of God who still sins and needs God's forgiveness and grace, I trust you'll find in this passage what you need. I want to work through this text by kind of following along with what wisdom is saying and just make application and point out key truths as we go. I don't really have like a point A, point B, point C lesson this morning, but let's start in verse 20 and 21. and listen to wisdom. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. There's no place where wisdom's voice cannot be heard. Solomon personifies wisdom as calling out in all of the most public places, right? In the middle of the streets. I think that God has made it easy for us to know what he wants and to know how to live. Obviously, the primary source of his wisdom is right here in his word. Psalm 19 gives us that instruction, other places. The place to start acquiring his wisdom is by having a right view of God, as verse 7 has told us already, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, in other words, if I make foolish choices, or if I find myself in a fix, and I most certainly will, and you most certainly will, it's not for lack, it's not normally for lack of knowing, not knowing the right thing to do. Because God's made it easy for us to know. Every time I do it my way, or I choose to sin, or I rush ahead unwittingly, I'm simply demonstrating that I didn't listen to the wisdom that was available. Wisdom cries out in the street. She lifts her voice in the public places. What or who is wisdom here? I think there's a couple of directions that people go, but I think it's possibly a description of Jesus Christ, some have said. It's a personification, definitely, of the wise character of God, of what God knows and says. Wisdom is of and from God. It's what he thinks and says and does. And he is the ultimate source of wisdom. He is the ultimate display of wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So here in 20 and 21, Solomon says, wisdom is crying out. You can hear her voice in all of the public places. It's hard to miss. And I think that she gives several sayings down throughout the rest of this chapter. And I want to just kind of focus on those as we go. If you could summarize these verses, I think this is what we'll come to at the end of our message today. Listen to wisdom and find help, understanding, and security in God. Ignore and refuse wisdom and find calamity, destruction, and death. So wisdom begins her sayings in verse 22. How long will you ignore God's wisdom? She says in verse 22, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." She describes three different characters here, or maybe even three different levels of foolishness, we could probably say. To be naive, to be simple-minded, she describes. She describes scoffers who delight in scoffing. She describes fools who hate knowledge. Three times in this chapter, she describes fools this way. They hate knowledge. They despise wisdom and instruction. And I think when Solomon is describing, or the writer of Proverbs is describing fools, he's describing scoffers. I think he's most likely describing people who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Most likely. Perhaps somebody who is naive could be a child of God and just is simple-minded, needs to grow. But maybe I won't be dogmatic about all those things, but that's kind of what I see here. But this is all of these attitudes are in reference to the spiritual, to the knowing and caring for the will and the wisdom of God. And they're all, we don't want it. We don't care for it. And wisdom calls, how long? How long will you remain there? How long will you ignore God's wisdom? She gives another saying in verse 23. And this is perhaps the most wonderful of all wisdom's sayings. In some of the following sayings, you'll see she says, it's too late. But here she says, turn. Look at verse 23. She has just asked, how long will you ignore? And she gives this wonderful entreaty. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. You don't have to choose to be a fool any longer, she says. Turn. Turn to God's way and God's wonderful plan. You may turn from your sin and you may turn to Him and find forgiveness and help and understanding. And this is not something to take for granted, because there will come a time when this is no longer available. We'll see that as we get down in these later verses. There will come a time when it's too late for you to turn back to God. But today is not that time. That's the idea here behind the word turn. It's to turn back to God. Remember that these are the ones that wisdom is calling out to. They're not ignorant of wisdom's cry or wisdom's message. They are arrogantly opposed to it. That's why she uses the word reproof. Turn to my reproof. This is a correcting. This is a reprimanding. That's what reproof is. You have done wrong and you need to be corrected. So turn back to the wisdom of God. And I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. I think these are wisdom's words, but they're the words of God. What is poured out here is just what you would seek: wisdom and understanding. All the things we seek after if we choose to fear the Lord, if we choose to listen to wisdom's cry. When you seek after wisdom, you will find it. So turn, she says, turn. Turn to my reproof. Well, what is wisdom's message? This is an important truth that I want to be careful not to miss here. There is a right way and a wrong way to follow. People follow lots of different ways. They want you to believe that each man's way is whatever is good for him. Whatever is good for you is good. And I would submit to you, that is not so. That is not the reality that the Scripture teaches us, gives to us. There are two ways to follow, and Solomon does such a wonderful job demonstrating that through this book of Proverbs. And in our heart of hearts, we know this to be true. We know this is a reality. But more importantly, we know it to be true because God's Word teaches us this truth. God's way is the right way. All of the other ways are wrong. That's the key truth. God's way is the right way, and all of the other ways are wrong. Why would I need wisdom's reproof if my way was an acceptable option? Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 are identical. They say this: there is a way which seems right to a man. You can complete the end of it probably, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Solomon began his kingly reign in wisdom. God gave him a special gift of wisdom that was unlike any other gift of wisdom to a man. And Solomon became deceived with his many wives and their many gods, and he tried all of these other avenues. He tried all of these other ways. And the book of Ecclesiastes, he reminds us, he comes back to the place where he says, after I tried it all, after I went down every path that I thought I could to find what I was looking for, in chapter 12, verse 13, he says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. God, through wisdom's sayings here in Proverbs 1, is giving us wonderful counsel. Turn back to me. Acknowledge that my way is the only way, and I will help you. I will give you understanding. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never come to Him acknowledging that His way is the right way and repenting of your way, today is an opportunity that God has placed before you to turn from your sin, to turn from your wisdom, your way, and trust God, to believe in Him, to find forgiveness for your sin, to find in Him a right relationship with God, to find in Him true wisdom and understanding. If you are a sinning Christian and you're sitting here today with unconfessed sin in your heart, fighting against God's leading and working in your life, pushing back against God's wisdom for whatever reason, wisdom says, don't continue being a fool. Turn. Turn from your sin and find forgiveness and grace to do what is right. Folks, God does reprove our sin, but He forgives and He helps those who turn to Him. That wonderful message you need to grasp onto. Wisdom says, turn. Turn and you will find help and understanding. Well, the next four sayings are pretty sober. Wisdom is going to describe for those who will continue to refuse and turn, to continue to turn and listen, four different ways that this will end up in tragedy. Verse 24 through 27 is the first of those sayings. She says, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. These are some sober words. Wisdom says, I called, I stretched out my hand, I gave my counsel, I gave my reproof, and you refused. No one paid attention, she says. You neglected it. You did not want it. Those are the words that she uses to describe the fools and the mockers. So she says, to you will come calamity, like a whirlwind, dread like a storm, distress and anguish. Ultimately, I believe, referring to separation from God, punishment for sin in hell, separated from God. And I, wisdom that you refused, says this, I will laugh, I will mock when your dread comes. I want to be careful to point out that God does not laugh or mock sinners in hell. That's not what this passage is communicating. God's wisdom is being personified here. The call, the reproof, you know better. When a person ends up in hell who has said no, no, no to God all their life and they end up in hell, those words of wisdom will come back to their mind and will be what's mocking them. I should have listened. I knew better. There comes a time when it's too late, wisdom says, and the die is cast. You live a life of refusal and neglect and disinterest in the wisdom of God, and you die in that state. The Bible says you'll get what you asked for. God is not obligated to give you what you did not want. He's faithful to give you what you choose. And if you choose to ignore His wisdom, you will receive calamity and dread and distress and anguish. And wisdom will laugh and mock. Why did you not turn? You knew the right thing to do. Why did you not listen? I think that this passage can have an immediate short-term application. I think it has so in a real practical sense, but I think it also, I've already alluded to this, has a long-term future application in a real permanent sense. I want to just touch on both of those. The immediate application or short-term application. You know this. Neglecting the wisdom of God now will result in pain and frustration and hardship. Right? Some of you have experienced, I've experienced that in my foolishness. Like a child who neglects his parents' warnings about playing on ice by the river during the spring melt. Did your parents ever warn you about that? My wife smiles because she's been in trouble a few times in her life, neglecting warnings like that. Perhaps that child ignores the warning. And by the way, this isn't a testimony about Christy, okay? I made this up. Perhaps that child ignores the warning, plays on the ice, falls in, and nearly drowns. And they spend weeks in the hospital recovering. And they endure pain and guilt. But there's hope of a lesson learned, right? And recovery and a second chance to hear and obey that wisdom again. This is where some of you stand today. You've got another chance to listen to the wisdom of God today. Will you listen? The long-term, permanent application we've already touched on, neglecting the wisdom of God all your life long and then dying still in your sin will result in eternal separation from God. Eternal judgment from God in hell. And there's no second chance at that point. There will only be the warnings of wisdom ringing in your head, mocking your choice to ignore it. So wisdom cries, turn. Turn back to me. Turn to the Lord. I will help you. I will give you understanding. Those who refuse to turn and listen will have calamity. Next, in verses 28 to 29, we're continuing in this description of the fools. Wisdom says, you'll find no help if you refuse to turn and listen. You'll find no help. 28 says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Wisdom says when trouble comes, that's, I think not trouble, just trouble in life, but the trouble that was described in the previous saying, when it's too late, the anguish and despair and dread of separation from God, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Wisdom continues this thought of the previous saying by demonstrating the finality of that life choice. Once you're in hell, there's no way for God to hear you. You are separated from Him for eternity. There's no way for you to find Him again. You hated His way and chose your own. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. Simply put, they did not want to obey God's will and follow God's way. And God says, there's no help when it's too late. So turn right now, turn while there's still help and still hope. Right now there's help if you turn. Verses 30 and 31, wisdom continues, you will reap what you sow if you refuse to turn and listen. She says in verse 30, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. They wouldn't accept it. They spurned my reproof. They didn't want it, like verse 25 says. Notice, wisdom gives counsel. Wisdom gives reproof. I love this. This is so wonderful to me. And I want to make sure this is clear. None of us are without excuse. We're going to come to this truth in a moment, but God doesn't just create us and drop us on this earth and leave us to our own devices. He has revealed himself to us, and he's given us his word to know what he wants. He's given us his word for us to know how to live. The ones wisdom's referring to in these verses are without excuse. They had the counsel and the reproof of God, whether through the knowledge of God in creation or through understanding the knowledge of God through his word, they were without excuse. God has written on our hearts a longing for him, and either we accept that or we reject it. Romans 1 mentions this. Verse 18 in Romans 1 says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." And then in verse 28, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper." Wisdom says, you will have your fill of your own plan and purpose. You will be satisfied with your own way. You will reap what you sow. You get what you pay for. Nobody who ends up in hell apart from God will ever be able to point at God and say, "You put me here against my will. You tricked me." God always counsels and warns and reproves sinners to turn from their foolishness and to obey him. And he offers forgiveness and life and help if they will. One more sober statement in verse 32 that wisdom says, "You will die if you refuse to turn and listen." Verse 32 says, "For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." The waywardness of the naive has the idea of turning away from instead of turning toward. Instead of turning toward God and finding help, they're turning away. Complacency of fools has the idea of, I just have no real sense of need. I just don't care. I'm good. This is why Solomon is writing to his sons. This is why all godly parents train their children, right? Left to their own devices, they will die. And I say that with a little bit of a smile, thinking about kids doing stupid things. But when we bring that up to where the rubber meets the road spiritually, like wisdom is referring to here, a person who continues to refuse to listen to the wisdom of God, the end result of the path of their life is destruction, is death. Their waywardness and their complacency will kill them. You will have calamity if you refuse to listen, to turn and listen. You'll find no help if you refuse to turn and listen. You'll reap what you sow if you refuse to turn and listen, and you will die if you refuse to turn and listen. Four very sober statements from wisdom. But the last verse of the chapter is where wisdom leaves us. The final saying of wisdom is so good. Will you hear it today? Verse 33. Whoever listens to me will have peace and security. But he who listens to me shall live securely, will be at ease from the dread of evil. Do you see how verse 33 starts? I always point this out if I remember to, but. I love this wonderful contrasting word in the Bible. We need it. Wisdom says, listen, if you continue to refuse to listen and refuse to turn, this will be the result. But if you do listen, the one who does listen will dwell securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. If you listen to me, this has not the sense only of hearing, but of yielding my will to another, of obeying. That's the idea behind this word for listen. If you obey me, you will live in quiet security. You'll have rest from trouble. You'll not fear anything bad or evil. Now, God is not promising through wisdom a life free of trouble on this earth, I don't think. Although for the majority of those who follow the Lord, I think that's probably the case, likely the case. But he does promise this kind of life eternally. You may have a life of trouble now. You may have a life of turmoil now following the Lord. But God promises there will come an end to that. You will dwell in quiet security, in rest from trouble, without fear or dread of anything evil, because you'll be with me in eternity. You'll be right with God. The result of the choice of the foolish is separation from God. The result of the choice of the wise is peace with Him forever. How many times did you say to a parent or a friend or a teacher, I'm so glad I listened to you? Have those words ever escaped your lips? I thought of an illustration in reference to listening and that exact concept of being glad that I did so. My cousin grew up in northern Saskatchewan in a tiny little town. And there were lakes everywhere. And in the winter, they were always on lakes, ice fishing or skating or whatever. And he was told by his parents to always carry his hockey stick when he skated on the ice on any lake in the winter. And he listened. And on one occasion, he was in a predicament where he was glad that he did. In fact, because of his actions, he received a Medal of Bravery from the Governor General of Canada years and years ago. He was skating on Little Jumbo Lake in northern Saskatchewan with a visiting family and another adult from his church. My cousin was 12 at the time, and he was carrying his hockey stick. While they were skating, all three members of the visiting family fell through the thin ice that they didn't perceive. And because my cousin had his hockey stick, he and the other adult were able to crawl on their bellies toward where they had fallen through and extend the hockey stick. And two of them, they were able to pull out of the water and pull to safety. And unfortunately, the third was unable to be rescued and perished. But here was a case where my cousin could say, I'm so glad I listened. Where those people that he rescued would say, I'm so glad you listened. This is maybe the most important truth of this message. God is speaking to you. through his wisdom, the wisdom of his word, he's speaking to you loud and clear. Will you listen to the wisdom of God? Will you be able to say, I'm so glad I listened, when you face the end of your life? Would you bow your heads, please? I shared this summary of our text as we began this morning. Listen to the wisdom of God and find help, understanding, and security in God. Ignore and refuse wisdom and find calamity, destruction, and death. God has spoken to you through his word. He gives wisdom and understanding. He gives help to live uprightly. He forgives. He restores. He makes secure. He will bring you to be at peace with him. As you're considering how to respond, I just want to read to you five short verses from the book of Proverbs. There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. And the last, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. God is speaking. Are you listening? As the piano plays, please turn to him and find the help and hope he offers. Please give thanks to him for the wisdom he gives to those who do hear him. You deal with God today as the piano plays.